الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم، ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين. بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم، يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعظمه، فطاب من طيبهن القاع والأكم. روح الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه، فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم. هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته، لكل هول من الأحوال مقتحم. يا رب بلغ بالمصطفى مقاصدنا، واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصل لربك وانحر، إن شانئك هو الأبتر. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. بسم الله. Before starting our talk proper, as per the command of our Honorable Sheikh Arif Billah, Rumi of our time, Mujaddid of our time, the second Tabriz, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Adam Allah Fuyudahum, Hazrat says that before every bayan, make muzakara, discuss one sunnat of Hazrat Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so that the sunnats of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam can become alive in the ummah again. And when the sunnats will become alive, we will have real life. Just by way of an example, see little children who go to kindergarten, who go to nursery school, they are usually given pictures to color in. So for example, they are given the picture of a lion to color it in. They color it, small children. They have their way of doing things. Then they show their bravery. They take a knife and they poke it in the eyes of the lion. It's a picture. What can the picture do? A lion picture, but it can't do anything. They take a scissor and cut off the tail of the lion. But it's a picture. It can't do anything. So how many of us, we are picture Muslims. So the enemies, what and what are they doing to us? What is happening in Syria? What is happening in Afghanistan, in Palestine, all these places. But we are picture Muslims, we can't do anything. And there is one lion which is in the zoo. It's a living lion, but it's in a cage. They write also there, don't interfere with the lion, with the animals, don't throw stones, etc. But small children show their bravery there also. They'll throw stones or they take a stick and poke it at the lion. The lion is in a cage, what can it do? So, and there are many of us who are such, who are living, but we are also in cages of the kuffar. If we want to go for Hajj also, we can't go without taking a photo for our passport, our visa. We are in their cages. What they want us to do, that we have to do. But one is a lion that is in a jungle free. Try and interfere with that lion and see what will happen. So the day we become that free lions like that, when there's life in us, the sunnats will give us that life. And when there is that life in us and we'll be like that free lions in the jungle, then see what will happen to the people of the world, how Islam will spread and how the world will come under the flag of Islam. But that is when we bring that sunnats into our lives. Today, the knowledge of sunnats also we lack, that what are sunnat acts, then the love of sunnat also is not there. How sadly, how many of us, we will love the Western lifestyle, we will love some soccer player, some cricket player, some film star, some singer, we dress like them and we feel it an honor to love how they love. And the sunnat, to dress according to sunnat, we find it very hard. If a baby is born, and say the first day, the mother puts on a kurta for the little baby boy, or puts on a burqa for a baby girl, even the pious people in the family, they will say, Amriti burqo piravi dido, Amriti kurto piravi dido. But put Christian dress on them, their knickers and their type of dress, a skipper and something like that, nobody will have a complaint. But you dress them like Islam, according to Islam, everyone, good people, pious people also will have a complaint. So that love of sunnat is still not enough. And then to practice on the sunnat. Look at our lifestyles, whether it is our lounges. Does our lounge resemble the lounge of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Or the lounge of Fir'aun and Haman and Qarun, of the enemies of Islam? What is our lifestyle in everything? Our dressing day-to-day life. And then to propagate the sunnah, to make it alive in the ummah. Today we give presents also. We give presents of the Western, all their lifestyle. Those presents we give to one another. I remember when I graduated from India and I came, that was long time in the 70s, a close family friend of my in-laws, they could see I'm wearing kurta and that, but they send a shirt as a present. Okay? So that is the lifestyle, that we haven't got the Islamic that desire. And they didn't mean anything bad or anything. It's just that we're sending a present and it's common. So you send a shirt. But we should see what we send as presents also, everything. So to bring sunnats into our lifestyle, if that comes into us, wallah, without exaggeration I'm saying, and this is so easy, many of us are such that we want Islam to spread in the world. Islam must be dominant. And Allah made it very, very easy. And that is by bringing the sunnats alive. See this famous hadith which many of us must have heard. We know that man ahya sunnati, a person who will make a sunnat of mine alive. And the meaning of making it alive, a very great scholar, Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali, says, "Ay man amila biha," a person who practices on a sunnat. فَلَهُ بِهَا أَجْرُ مِئَةِ شَهِيدٍ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. He gets the reward of 100 shaheeds. In these times of ours, to make amal on a sunnat, you get the reward of 100 martyrs, shaheeds. Now, question arises before that. Just imagine the value, just to make amal on a sunnat, and not one shaheed sawab, martyr, 100 shaheeds. And the shaheed who dies in the battlefield gets the sawab of one shaheed. And this shaheed doesn't die also. He gets a reward of 100 martyrs and he's alive. And he can still go make amal on another sunnah, take another 100 shaheed sawab. And the martyr on the battlefield, he's dead. After he became shaheed, he's dead. But this martyr is still alive. There are two questions here. Why so much reward for practicing on a sunnah? And why that 100 martyrs reward you get and you still remain alive? Because the real essence of keeping deen alive is not on the battlefield. It is bringing sunnats into our lives. That's why the virtues are so great, that for every sunnat, 100 shaheeds reward, and by this deen will become alive in the world. To go on the battlefield, all of us, if we have to hear announcement of jihad, we all have to go. We all will slip out from here and get not in our beds, under our beds. That perhaps have to go battlefield. But to make amal on sunnat is so easy. Sleep according to sunnat. Drink water according to sunnat. Anything, do it according. Hadrat Maulana Shah Abrarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, sunnat ka tariqa ashal tariqa hai. To do anything what you want to do, and you do it sunnat way, is the easy way of doing that. Take for example, marriage, wedding. You one is, you make it according to our custom wedding. It takes 6 months for preparation, sometimes 1 year for shopping. People are going to Pakistan, they are going to Dubai for shopping, for one wedding. How much of money, how much of time, and then the preparations before that, how much all the preparations. And one is sunnah tariqah of wedding. You propose, they accept, and while you're discussing, and alhamdulillah, it's happening, they say, just let's make nikah finish now. That is sunnah tariqah, no difficulty. After that, make a walima. Walima, you don't need 200 people also. 10 people, 5 people. Keep one poor piece of person, keep some pious people. Just your ordinary next day's lunch, make it the niyat of walima. And just invite 1-2 people. So simple. And Allahu Akbar, the benefit of that, inna a'azama nikahi baraka. That nikah has got the most barakat in it. Aisaruhu ma'una. In which there is the least effort and the least expenses. This works like a scale with 2 pens on it. If on the one pen, it's very heavy, lot of effort we made, lot of money we spend in that wedding, then this pen goes right up. It's like the barakat pen. No barakat in that marriage. And if this pen is light, we didn't spend money, we didn't spend time, simple nikah, then the barakat pen is very heavy. Then there'll be lot barakat in that marriage. And you'll see the great goodness that will come out of such a marriage. The children that will be born, the happiness between the husband and wife, all the goodness will come. And when we are getting married, we are putting the foundation for a whole generation. That a boy and girl, they're going to be afterwards father, mother and father, grandfather and grandmother, great-grandfather, great. We are putting the foundation at the time of marriage. If we put the right foundation of sunnah, then for generations that barakat will come. And if we put the other way, we spend money and not only spend money and lot of time and effort, but we bring the ways of the non-believers in that wedding. Then how can we have barakat in that wedding? How can we have goodness in it? So sunnat ka tariqa ashal tariqa hai. Next thing Maulana said, sunnat ka tariqa ajmal tariqa hai. It is the most beautiful way. Anything that you want to do, and you want to do it with beauty. Everyone likes beauty. So if we want beauty in anything, whether it's our bedroom, whether it is our lounge, whether it is our dressing, is the sunnah tariqah. There is no more beautiful way. And we should also consider, if we don't see beauty in it, then there is something wrong with our eyes. One time, Layla and Majnu, the story is famous, how Majnu was mad in love with Layla. So the king of the time said, bring Layla, I want to see her. This man, why is he so much head over heels, madly in love with Layla? How, she must be very, very beautiful. When they brought her, the king saw her, the ordinary woman. What does Majnu see so much? When they told Layla, Layla said, you need the eyes of Majnu to see my beauty. But your eyes, you can't see my beauty. You need the eyes of Majnu. Then you can see my beauty. So if we have got the eyes of Iman, then we'll see the beauty of Sunnat. When we haven't got the eyes of Iman, we can't see the beauty of Sunnat. Then if we got the eyes of something else, which I don't want to take the name, we'll see the beauty of the dressing of the non-believers. We'll see the beauty in top and pants, in skippers, in t-shirts and jeans, and how that, what stupidity and idiocy there is in that. That you buy a torn patch jean, you pay more for it than the jeans that are not torn in that. The jeans that are torn and patched, they cost more. That shows what stupidity. You buy half socks, it's more expensive than buying full socks. So this is their life. In their dressing, the woman's dressing, the less you buy, the more expensive it is. And if it's a full dress that covers the body, that is cheap. But if it doesn't cover anything, then that is very expensive. So that is, when we haven't got the eyes of Iman, we can't see these things. And then though that filth and dirt appeals to us. So sunnat ka tariqa ajmal, it is the most beautiful way. But we need the eyes of Iman to be able to see how beautiful it is. And sunnat ka tariqa akmal tariqa hai. It is the most perfect way. Anything you want to do, and many of us are such, we are ideologists, we want idealistic, we are perfectionists, everything must be right, it must be perfect. Anyone who likes that, it is the sunnat way. It is the most perfect way, the most idealistic way of doing anything. May Allah give us tawfiq to make amal on every sunnat. And amongst the sunnats is the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to realize the great honor and position of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There also today we are lacking so much. See, if a person is going for Hajj or Umrah or any other journey, going Jamaat 2 months, 4 months, anything he's going, about the time he has to leave home, say he has to leave at tonight 8 o'clock, his flight, whatever time it is, and he has to leave at 8 o'clock. About 7 o'clock or so, his little child falls down, gets hurt. They see it's not so serious that he has to cancel his prayer, but he has got hurt. Now, you'll see whatever you can do, you'll try and do for the child. Now it's time to go, we'll miss our flight. So let us go, we tell the people at home, whoever is at home, the children, the parents, whoever is staying at home, please see to the child, take him, doctor, everything, we'll give instructions. As we are traveling, perhaps hardly half an hour, we'll phone home. How is the child? You took him to doctor. What did the doctor say? Do they feel you must do an x-ray? Even if it's not necessary, but have an x-ray done. Why all this? We left the child. After another hour or so, again we'll phone. From the airport we'll phone. And before they announce, you must switch off your cell phones in the plane, we'll make a last call again. We reach Jeddah, wherever, we'll phone again. Why all this? Because we love our child. We are concerned about the child. But who of us even think of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Even does the thought of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to us even once in a day. When we are reading our namaz in At-Tahiyyat, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. Do we think of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? When we read Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, Allahumma barik ala Muhammad, we don't even think of Nabi. How many of us, today is fresh still, our memories are gone very weak, but today's day is with us. Ask ourselves, did I read one time durood on my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And we say that we love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we will do a lot of things to prove that we love, but did we even read one durood on our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Did even in namaz, did we think of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That should prove to us what the level of our iman is. And yet we are not concerned to improve it, to better it. If doctor says your cholesterol is very high, your blood pressure is high, that just by him saying that puts our blood pressure even more high. And now we are more worried. I must do something immediately. We tell the wife, from today no more ghee you must cook, no more salt you must use, and I'm going to jog 2 kilometers every day. We are worried of our health, but our iman's health, who of us are worried? Yeah. And in any case, you can be worried of your health as much as you want to. One young boy in Azadville many years ago, which is very surprising, perhaps some won't believe it also, but it is a fact. About 16, 17 year old, so health conscious, he shouldn't drink cold drink. For a young boy like that, it's not easy to believe it also. No sweets, no chocolates, very health conscious, he's 16, 17 year old boy. He slept one night, somebody was gone away, he was looking after the house, he never woke up in the morning, he passed away. So no matter how health conscious we are, mort is going to come. And even if you're not health conscious, mort is going to come. So no matter how much you look after your health, you have to die. There is no get away from that. Nobody is going to escape death. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Every soul will taste of death. But if we're not worried about our imani condition, and we have to go in the qabr, what will be our position? Nobody has given us guarantee we're going to die on iman. Hey, nobody has got that guarantee. Allahu Akbar. A great, great alim, great buzurg, Sufyan Thawri, rahmatullahi, very great alim. In his young age, his back was bent already. So people asked him, you're still a young man, and like, "Oh man, your back is bent already." He says, "My three ustads died in the state of kufr. One died as a Christian, one died as a Jew, one died as a fire worshipper. Such a great alim, his ustads, how great they must have been. So I'm worried, what will be my condition? Who of us are worried how we going to die? Whether we going to die with iman or without iman? When such great people..." Allahu Akbar, just think and take it to heart, give it thought. When Allah Ta'ala expelled Shaitan from his court, when he refused to make sajda to Adam alayhi salam, Allah gave him command that you make sajda to Adam alayhi salam, he refused. Allah expelled him. When Allah expelled him, Jibreel alayhi salam, Mikail alayhi salam, the greatest farishtas, they just stood like they were dumbfounded. They couldn't move. Sahm gaye, kuch nahi kar sake. And those days there were no watches, no timetables, no calendars. You couldn't measure for how long. The ulama write it might have been hundreds, thousands, millions of years that they were just dumbfounded. After a long, long time, Allah asked them, "What's wrong with you people? You are so like dumbfounded." They said, "Ya Allah, Shaitan, we took him to be the greatest buzurg. The amount of ibadat he made, now we know him as Shaitan. But that time, there isn't a span of earth anywhere where he didn't make sajda. So much his ibadat was, all the time in ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. And so much of knowledge he had, that every Nabi's, what we in our language will say fine print, juziyat, he had the knowledge of all the juziyat of the shariat of every Nabi, such a great alim also. And such a great arif, he recognized Allah. That when Allah told him, "You get out from my court, you have been rejected and you get out," he knew that Allah's anger cannot overtake Allah. Allah is in control of his anger. If we sometimes get angry, we are out of control. And what we speak, we give the wife talaq, and what we do. Afterwards we realize what we did. But Allah, it's impossible that anger can overtake Allah. And Allah doesn't know what is na'uzubillah. That can never happen. So Shaitan knew that condition of Allah also. So he said, "Ya Allah, give me life till the day of Qiyamah." Allah granted it to him also. So such a person who was still that time, and he was a jinn all along. But Allah promoted him to live amongst the farishtas. And he lived amongst the farishtas, and his name also was kept according to the farishtas' names. Farishtas' names, Jibreel, Mikail, his name was Azazil. So like he was amongst the very pious people. He was allowed to stay amongst the very pious. He wasn't of that category. But because of his great piety, such a person, when he was rejected, Mikail alayhi salam, Jibreel alayhi salam said, "Oh Allah, we don't know what the future. Only you know the future. See what happened to Shaitan. This can happen to us also." That's why we are, when Jibreel alayhi salam is so worried, Mikail alayhi salam, and me and you, we're not worried that how my mort will come. We are worried of my job. We are worried of my car. We are worried of my business. Today business was not good. Today my health, I've got little chest pains. I'm worried about that. But our iman, our qabr, who of us are worried? That is the thing to worry. If your chest pains and your all your other things, whatever can happen, in any case you're going to die. Whether you're healthy, whether you're sick, whether you're rich, you are poor, black or white, everyone has to die. But in the qabr, what is going to happen, that we don't worry about. And that is the, and also in our times today, there are so many fitnas from every side. From outside there are fitnas attacking us. From inside there are fitnas in the ummah now. The people from inside the ummah, how many fitnas are being created now? What different ideologies are coming? New things are coming into our deen which we never knew, we never could dream, we never heard about it before. Today the means of propagating deen, new ways are coming. All different types of things are coming. So how lot fitnas, so even how much more we have to be worried. And Allahu Akbar, let me add this also. That our children who are going to school, what are they learning there? We don't know. All that I know, I don't even know properly my child is in grade 8 or grade 10. I think my child is in grade 9 or something. I don't even know properly. And what are they learning, that we don't know anything. One time, some Arab boys from Makkah Sharif came and studied at the madrasa. Usually we only take at the age of 15, they were a bit younger, but we made a concession for them. And the parents, mother, father, all came to settle them in because they were small boys. So we got our Haji Sahib in the madrasa. He looks after our visitors amongst his other duties. So he took them to the Sterfontein caves also to show them there. All the nice things to see, everything. But now they've changed it. Now it's no more Sterfontein caves, the cradle of civilization. That civilization started there. In Sterfontein caves, that's where civilization started. And they got a plug also there of Darwin's theory of evolution, which basically means that according to them, what they believed, their forefathers were monkeys, slowly, slowly the monkey became a human being. And this is written there. So Haji Sahib showed them, so, and explained to them how wrong it is, how it is kufr to believe that our forefather was Adam alayhi salam, whom Allah says, khalaqtu bi yadayya, I created him in my special way, I created him. To believe that our forefather was a monkey, this is their monkey business that they have got. So then those Arab people said, what are you talking? This is being taught in our schools in Makkah Sharif. This kufr. Open kufr is being taught in the schools in Makkah Sharif, they said. In our Muslim schools, it is being taught here. In our schools, one Muslim school, the teacher, well, it was brought to his attention, how can you teach Darwin's theory of evolution? What did he say? It's in the syllabus. I have to teach it. So we don't know what our children are learning. We are looking after them, giving them clothing, food, everything. They are all right in front of us, but inside they are kidnapped. Their mind is something else. In schools and universities, even worse. One doctor of our friend of ours in Welcom, he wanted to enroll his son in a university, so he went to the university, wherever it was, somewhere else. When he went in the university, he couldn't believe he's in South Africa. He says, I thought I'm in Europe. All the way the dressing and the lifestyle and there. And he said, I must put my son in the fire of Jahannam. How can I put, he says, the fire of Jahannam. How can I put my son in the fire of Jahannam? Really, we can't believe what is happening. But we are just happy. My children are going to university, third year medical, second year engineering. And what is happening? What's the condition of Iman? That we are not worried. Just the outside glitter and glamour of dunya, that is appealing to us. And remember, whatever our children will do wrong, and we did not make an effort to correct them, we'll be in the qabr, they'll be making gunas in dunya, and we will get the punishment in the qabr also. We will suffer that consequences also. We have to become aware of what is happening. Anyway, it is so important to bring sunnahs into our lives. So the surah that I have recited, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali says, the greatest praises which Allah has bestowed on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is in this surah. The greatest surah. Maulana encourages anyone who goes to Medina Sharif for ziyarat to read the surah 1,000 times. And wallah, and it doesn't take long. It will be just a little while to read the surah 1,000 times, and your whole kaifiyat, your quality of ziyarat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, your stay in Medina, you will see for yourself, it's a complete different quality. The kaifiyat will be completely different if you will read this as you are going to Medina Sharif. Just perhaps start half an hour before time, 1 hour before time, it doesn't take long, and your whole kaifiyat of your hadiri, your huduri at Rozai Mubarak will be a complete different one. Yeah. So there must be some great subject matter in it for which the surah was revealed on the occasion when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam's son was probably, it was Ibrahim alayhi salam, passed away. So the kuffar of Makkah, the mushrikeen, they started saying that there his son is also dead. His religion won't carry on in the world. Because normally, your male offspring takes your name and carries it on. You got a business, you are becoming old, you put your eldest son in the business. He carries it on. Your name of your business is there, so and so. So the son keeps your business, your name, he keeps it going. Afterwards also people, that son, from your daughter she gets married, her surname changes. But a boy, he maintains his father's surname. So he carries on the name and the mission of his father. So they said that the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's son has passed away and he's got no other male offspring, so his religion will die. He'll be die. And there is no one to carry on with his work. So his religion will also die. Abtar. His religion will be come to an end. On that Allah revealed the surah and consoled Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala said, let them say what they want to. They are not in control of their own tongues, of their own eyes. Everything is in the control of Allah. By them saying all these things, nothing is going to change and happen. What Allah says, that is what will happen. Not by any idols, not by any people. People plan, وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ. They plan and Allah plans. وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. Allah is the best of planner. Allah is the only planner. Only Allah's plans can work. No other plans can work. So let them say what they want to. I am telling, Inna أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرِ. We, and here Allah says, Inna we. Hey, it's only Allah one, but this shows that authority and that power and greatness of Allah. When a government is one. But when they speak, the government didn't say I, they say we. It shows that power and authority. Allah is one, the greatest. So he uses the plural in order to show that greatness. Inna a'atainaka. We have already given you, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let them say what they want to. We have given you Al-Kawthar. Al-Kawthar, there are few interpretations. One of it is the famous, the fountain of Kawthar on the day of Qiyamah. From where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will giving people, will be giving people to drink water. And we should read that dua, especially when we drink Zamzam. That, oh Allah, let me, the Zamzam, let it be the means that I drink the water of Kawthar on the day of Qiyamah. After that, a person will never feel thirsty again. And also, this is a sunnah dua to read when we pass the Mizab-e-Rahmat, the gutter of Kaaba Sharif. When we are passing there, that, oh Allah, give me Zamzam to drink and give me Kawthar to drink on the day of Qiyamah. So that dua also we should try and make there. So anyway, that is that wonderful drink. And here also there is a little bit more detail that the people will be going in full hope that we will, I'm the ummati of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I'm going to be getting to drink from Jam-e Kawthar, from the fountain of Kawthar. And a little bit more detail of that, that to the ulama and to the pious people, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself with his hand will give them to drink. And then he will order them and instruct them, all your followers you hate, now you give them to drink. So what an honor for the righteous and the pious and the ulama. And then the other people, ordinary people, they won't get directly from the hand of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They will get from their mashayikh who they were following, from their ulama who they were following, from them they will get. So make our children ulama. Make our children hafiz, the virtues of it. Don't worry about medicine and engineering and all that. How long is that going to help us? And I don't want to go into details, but very briefly, when we were in Malaysia many years ago, one brother explained to us one big mistake we made here in Malaysia. He said, we went into professions, university, degrees, professions, medicine, law, engineering, all that. And what happened as a result? The business sector was left empty. And the Chinese came in and they took over all the businesses. And remember, a country is run not by the politicians. A country is run by two people, the businessman and the farmer. They are the two people who control a country. Today the laws which politicians pass, they are bribed underhand by the businessmen. And then they have to make the laws according, they play to the tune of this big businesses. What they want to be done in the country, they get it done. Election time, they will donate money. And which parties they want must come in, they will promote that. So it is they who are controlling. Therefore in the hadith, the biggest dua for barakat is made for the businessman and for the farmer. The farmer feeds the nation. In his hand is outwardly, Allah is the only doer. But outwardly, the farmer is the one who is feeding the nation. And the businessman is running the country. So these are the two most important things. So anyway, that Malaysian told that we didn't go, we didn't keep to our business. We went into professionals, the Chinese came in. And they started controlling our country, running our country for us. Everything was in their hands. Then slowly they made effort, they came back into business again. As I said, I don't want to go into the details, but this is a very important subject. The best thing for our children, bring them into business. Train them up, and they don't need business management courses and all that. See how stupid and how they're making us stupid. You have financial advisors to give you advice how to become rich. If they knew that means alchemy of becoming rich, they should become rich themselves. Not come work for you for 20 rand an hour or 80 rand an hour and tell you how to use your money to become rich. They should become rich themselves. But we become so stupid. Fortune tellers. How many of us we go by fortune tellers, which is totally haram, shirk and kufr. If they knew fortune, they should their own fortune. They shouldn't be living like gypsies in caravans and traveling around. If they knew fortune, and they are out here to tell us our fortune, they don't know their own fortune also. So anyway, business is the best thing for us. Better than any profession and anything, business is the best. And it's all under our eyes. And there is a lot of barakat in it also. One thing which we haven't ventured, which we, if we don't want to do business, go into farming. That is another very good avenue as far as deen is concerned. So anyway, so Allah Ta'ala told Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we have given you this Kawthar, this fountain of Kawthar. I was saying that what's happening at the universities and on that, we digressed a little bit. Then people will come that I'm also Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's follower. I was the reciter of the kalima, la ilaha illallah. But there will be people who have been involved in innovations in deen. And when we hear about innovations in deen, we only think of one group of people. What is innovation? Any new thing which we bring into deen. Our dressing has changed. Our lifestyle has changed. Everything, modern ideas we have got, corrupted ideas we have got. Those people will think, I was also reading La ilaha illallah. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be going forward to give them also. The malaika will say that don't give these people. Because they changed their ways after you. They didn't follow in your ways, they brought new ways. Whether it is ways of the East or West, whether it is modern ways or ancient ways. But not the ways of Islam and the ways of Sunnah. They brought other ways. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his own mouth and tongue will say, Sohkan, Sohkan, get away from me, get away from me. How will we face that situation? And if you are not going to be with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with who are we going to be on the day of Qiyamah? So this Kawthar, Allah has given it to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it will be one of the great highlights of the day of Qiyamah, when people will be getting to drink from the hand of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of this beautiful fountain. But it will depend on our lives here. If we are changing our lives, we are bringing other things into our deen, and we are corrupting our deen, and we are adulterating our deen with other things, with other ideologies and other concepts and other things, then it's a dangerous thing on the day of Qiyamah. The other tafsir of Kawthar, khaira kathir, goodness in abundance. Oh, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they say that your deen is going to die. I declare, I'm in control of everything, that I've given you goodness in every way. Great amount of goodness. The goodness of the deen of Islam. The goodness of Allahu Akbar, if we can realize. We were just by Dr. Mayat now. He said a few days ago, the thought came to me that no other ummah was given adhan. This ummah was given adhan. And adhan, he said, the whole of deen is kept in adhan. Then I explained to him the dua that we have to read after adhan. Allahumma rabba hadhihi da'wati tamma. This is da'wati tam. The most perfect and complete da'wat of Islam is adhan. And therefore it's given so loudly over the mic. Everyone is given da'wat. Hey, Muslims are invited to the masjid. Non-Muslims, we are giving them da'wat all the time. They are invited to the oneness of Allah, to the ways of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, towards salah, towards success, towards the greatness of Allah Ta'ala, this da'wat is being given. Throughout the world, the da'wat is given. I'll just digress again a little bit. When we were in Raiwin, many years ago in Jamaat, there was a padri, a priest of France, Abdul Rahim, most probably was his name, who had converted to Islam. And a little bit of his little background, before he accepted Islam also, he already built a masjid for the Muslims. He loved Islam and the Muslims very much. He was still a priest. He built a masjid. And then when it was built, he did everything. He gave the Muslims the key. They started now fighting who's going to be the president, who's going to be the secretary, treasurer. He said, I gave the masjid because I love the salat you people form, your namaz. Not for fighting in the masjid. He took the key away again from them. That you people are making no namaz, you are fighting amongst yourselves. Anyway, we met him in Raiwin. He gave us three golden advices that I want to narrate. One advice, he said, never give up the sunnah dressing of yours. He says, you don't realize that the impact it has on us as Christians, it just overwhelms us. And many, many Christians, when they see this, they are reminded of Jesus. Isa alayhi salam, his dressing was like this. We are the people who dress like the men, the Rasuls and the Anbiya alayhi salam. And Allah has kept this for us in this day of degeneration and rot that is set in the whole world. Alhamdulillah, those who dress this way, they are dressing like the men of Allah Ta'ala. The second, he said, that your adhan, never give it, don't stop giving your adhan. Wherever you are, from your masjids, you are traveling on the road, you stop by the side of the road, by a garage, at the airport, wherever you are, railway station, bus stop, call out the adhan. He says, you people just take it for granted, but you don't realize on us what an effect it has. He says, these are the things that made me accept Islam. The beauty of adhan, what a great effect it has got. And the third thing he said, your namaz. Don't hide and make your namazes. Today many of us, because we don't think of it further, we are happy. Oh, our tempo, very nice Jamaat Khana we got. Heathrow Airport, we got Jamaat Khana. Any Schiphol here, Amsterdam, almost every airport in the world, we got Jamaat Khana. These people are not sleeping. We are fast asleep. They saw the effect of namaz on the other people. So they put us away, hide us away in one Jamaat Khana. When our namazes were made in public in front of all, I remember I was a young boy, perhaps 17, 18 years old, Maulana Allama Yusuf bin Nuri Rahmatullah Ali of Karachi came to South Africa. We went and fetch him. We were studying in Mias Farm at the airport. We went and fetch him. And the old Jan Smuts airport of those days. And there were about easily 200-300 people who had come. And the surf that they had made, 2-3 surfs of 50-60 people, and all the surfs. And one imam, Allahu Akbar, and all are in namaz. One Allahu Akbar, and all are in ruku. We don't realize our namaz is more a discipline than military training also. Mm-hmm. Where the imam, one assalamu alaikum, everyone makes salam. Everything, how we are disciplined. One incident was reported, two friends in America were watching live TV near Hajj time. So one was a Muslim, one was a non-Muslim. And about 2-3 minutes before namaz has to start now, this Muslim man told the non-Muslim man, they are seeing how the people are sitting in the haram, in the surfs, everything. And we know how everyone, somebody's legs are stretched out, somebody is lying down, somebody is reading Quran facing this side, somebody that side. So the Muslim man told the Muslim, a non-Muslim, his friend, they in about 2-3 minutes, they're going to start namaz now. And you can see how everyone is like all disarrayed. And about what you think, how long will it take to get the stuff straight? So he looked, he said, I think about 15 minutes at least. Then he told him, but remember there's a basement also. The ground floor, the first floor, second floor, right on top. Then he said, I think about 45 minutes, 1 hour. Then the imam stood up. And he said, صَفُّوا صُفُوفَكُمْ فَإِنَّ تَسْوِيَّةَ الصُّفُوفِ مِنْ إِقَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ. When he made this announcement, surfs were straight. Half a minute, quarter minute, all the surfs were straight. And we see the pictures also of the Kaaba Sharif, that how that surfs when Jamaat Namaz. We see that, oh, how beautiful it is. It melts your heart. So this namaz of ours has got a great impact on this people. So Allah Ta'ala has given us our azan, our namaz, our clothing, whatever is associated to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah has given us khair-e kathir. And one great khair-e kathir which Allah had given to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I promise you, your deen was not only going to last till the day of Qiyamah, but it will swallow up all the other people. And today, for the first time, recently, for the first time, the statistics, statistics, the number of people in the world, what they count, how many people? Census. The first time they admitted, it was long time, Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali in his time already said, Muslims are the majority in the world. But they were hiding it all the time, they showed Christians to be, but now they can't hide it, it's now too much for them to hide. They admitted for the first time, Muslims have outnumbered Christians in the world. And which Christians? Who are just by name Christians. One person from Malawi came to Darul Uloom Azadwal to work. When he came to work, his passport name was John Pilger or something like that. But I asked him, you're a Muslim? He said, I'm a Muslim. And he gave me his name. He passed away, he was in Rudipuat. He was a painter, Ahmed. Yeah. He passed away in a very pious person. His name in his passport, Christian name, but Tahajjud Guzar. Monday, Thursday, Roza. Pabandi, regularly is Monday, Thursday, Roza. But like that, so they just give them, he say, if we don't give a Christian name, we won't get passport. We won't get admission to school, etc. So they are happy, these are so many, we hear, oh, in Malawi, so many people have become, all just by name. And what, how beautiful, somebody said, you can hire a Muslim, but you can't buy a Muslim. As long as you give him money, you can hire him. You say, become a Christian. We'll give you money. But the minute the money stops, finished, everything stops also. So you can't buy him, you can only hire him for as long as you are paying him. So anyway, the Muslim statistics, the census are showing Muslims are the highest for the first time. They have to, couldn't hide it anymore. In Sri Lanka, we just went there. Before we went, we heard a lot of trouble. The Muslims, we were wondering, what's the trouble? So I asked them, what is the problem here? Muslims, they say they are having problems. They say the first time, Muslim census, they all the time were showing 10%. Now that they took statistics and the census they did, Muslims are 20%. And it's a Buddhist country, the Buddhists are ruling there. They were 65%, they have come down. So they can't tolerate this. For the last 20-30 years, the amount of masjids that have been built, and not one new Buddhist temple has been built. Masjids are increasing all the time. In 1955 or like that, in the Indian parliament in Delhi, a Hindu parliamentarian stands up and he speaks to the people and he tells them, oh Hindus, are you awake or are you sleeping? In 1947, partition of India and Pakistan, the whole statistics were written. So many masjids, so many madrasas, so many Muslims. He says now in 8 years' time, the masjids have doubled and tripled up. The Muslims have doubled and tripled up. Are you awake or are you sleeping? Islam is not only going to be alive, Islam is overtaking li yudhirahu ala deeni kulli walau karihal mushrikun walau karihal kafirun. Allah will make deen spread. Yeah, in our country, we were too useless to bring Islam to the black people. Allah sent the people of India and Pakistan and Bangladesh. And where are they? In the small villages. And they are marrying the local woman. And they are bringing Islam alive. Now wherever, especially in this areas, all this Giani and what all, all these areas, how many everywhere, Jamaat Khana, Muslims, Madrasa, Islam is spreading in the whole world. Today, in America you go, in Europe, Allahu Akbar, UK, how many towns, Blackburn, Leicester, you think we're in a Muslim country. And the masjids also, remember one very important thing, in the days of apartheid, if you think, remember, consider, our masjids were like concealed like in backyards, it was not open and that. And the churches, any town you enter, the first four-way crossing you come, every corner there is a church. And a big church with the garden sprawled out, everything. That was a way to say, this is Christian land. Now today if you go and see, Allahu Akbar, masjids are like that. In the UK if you go and see, in many countries, the masjid at prime spots and beautiful big masjids. This is Allah's way of saying this is Muslim land. And this country and the countries of the world, they will be Muslim countries. But what we, so Allah gave Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that consolence. My Nabi, you don't worry. They say your religion is going to die. What die is going to flourish? You will leave this world. But and how it flourished. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, what did he say? When people just stopped it, he said, we're not going to pay zakat. Only one thing. He said, Ayankusuddin wa Abu Bakr hai? Can any deficiency come in deen while Abu Bakr is alive? Out of the question. Sayyidina Huzaifa ibn al-Yaman radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, A'atruku sunnata habibi lihaula al-humaqa? Just one sunnah of my Habib, my beloved, I must give up. Impossible. For these stupid people, I must give up one sunnah of my Nabi. May Allah bring that jazba coming to us. So that is what Allah is saying. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. Oh Nabi, you don't worry. We have given you khair kathir. We have given you the fountain of kawthar on the day of Qiyamah. We have given you the most beautiful, brilliant, radiant deen. And it's just going to increase and flourish and go in the whole world. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. And in return, what must you do? فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. So make namaz for Allah Ta'ala. And sacrifice for Allah Ta'ala. That is what you must do. That is what we must do. Make our namazes. Be regular with our namazes. When Allah has been anyone who does a great favor and you can't tell him thank you also. Allah has given us, made the Muslims the most honorable in the world. And we can't say one thank you. Make one sajda to Allah. Make one ruku to Allah. Shaitan didn't make one sajda. He was thrown out of the court of Allah. How many sajdas are we not making? How many namazas are we not making? What will be our condition? So let us make our namaz, become pabind with our five times namaz, and make qurbani for Allah Ta'ala. Qurbani of every type, our desires. There's a woman, strange woman walking. My desire is to look. You're a human being. You have got desire. It's not that you become a Sufi sahab and a Maulana and Mufti sahab. Now you don't feel like looking. No, that desire is there, but sacrifice. Allah says don't look, so don't look. You want to become very rich by hook or crook, whether it's lotto, whether it's gambling, whether it is backdoor goods, whether it is interest business. No, no, sacrifice. Allah's command. I won't break the laws of Allah Ta'ala. Whatever you are doing, if you made a mistake and you gave your wife talaq, three talaqs, now sacrifice. I made a mistake. Now don't let me try and cover up with it and try and come out sideways and three is one and one is three. We're not Christians. That they believe three is one and one is three. Three is three and one is one. Three is not one and one is not three. So you give three talaqs is three. Three gods cannot be one god. And one god can't be three gods. So if you made a mistake, accept it now. Whatever it is, sacrifice for Allah. Our desires are plenty. That I want a beautiful home, luxurious, double story mansion, and I want it all. I'm building for my daughters and my children, and I know they're already married and they're going out. But I'm building a house, and I'm building my child's house, and I'm building my daughter's house, and just everything lying empty there all the time. So don't ever sacrifice. Whatever desires we have, sacrifice them. This is now the thankfulness to Allah Ta'ala. I got lot desire that I must wear t-shirt and jeans, and on top of it torn jeans. Eh? And I must wear this tick sign? Nike. Nike is actually a Greek goddess of victory. Like the Hindus, the murtis they have got. Or like Isa alayhi salam on the cross. Can we ever think a person will make namaz with Isa alayhi salam's picture on the cross on him? All these Hindus, their devatas and devotees and all their idols, that is a picture on our clothing and we make them. Can we ever comprehend it? The Nike sign on Nike written is exactly the same. It is the Greek goddess of victory. That is why in sports they use it a lot. They believe, which wrong belief they got, that this god will give them victory in sports. That's why most sporting equipment will have the Nike sign. That you wear that, you will get a victory. Like this or soccer team, they go for some mochi and they put it on the ground and then they lose more. They lose hopelessly when they put all their muti, which they went and put to win. But they lose hopelessly in that. So all these things, a Muslim, how can he? We must learn to sacrifice. Make namaz. And remember also, wherever the mushrikeen, the non-believers, spoke bad against Islam and the Muslims, in return, what did Allah Ta'ala says? Tasabbih bihamdi rabbika wastaghfir. Make tasbih. Make a zikr of Allah. That is what we must do. We don't have to go and fight them. We don't have to march on the streets. They come on TV. We don't have to come on TV. We must see our namaz is correct. We must see that our zikr is correct. We must see our du'as are correct. Are we living according to sunnah? Are we reading durood sharif? These are the things that bring the help of Allah. And when you do that, inna shaniyaka huwal abtar. That your enemy who are saying, you will be abtar, your deen will get cut off. Their deen is cut off. Today, Abu Lahab's name, Abu Jahl's name, if it was not for Islamic history and for tafsir of Quran, nobody should even know the name Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab or even Abu Talib or any one of them. It is the barakat of the tafsir of the Quran and Hadith and the barakat of Islamic history that still people know their names. Otherwise their names aise mit jate ke kisi ko koi pata hi nahi hota ke ye log kabhi zinda bhi paida bhi hue zinda bhi rahe, koi unka shaan aur nishan bhi nahi rehti. Ye Islam ki barkat se abhi wo unke naam abhi zinda hai. To aur Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam ka naam, Allahu Akbar, farishte Allah durood bhejte Nabi alaihi salatu wasallam, farishte durood bhejte, lekin bichare mominon ko taufeeq nahi hoti. Akash ke puri duniya ke musalman 10-10 martaba bhi durood bhejte to kya shaan hota. So this is what we will have to do. So in this one small surah, Allah has explained and gave the exposition of the honorable, radiant, glad, wonderful position of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May we realize who we have got. Who is our Nabi Muhammad? Muhammad kaisa pyara naam hai Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Madina, 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 Madina. Bara lutf deta hai naam Madina. The name Madina gives you enjoyment. The name Muhammad gives you enjoyment. Bring his lifestyle and then see what enjoyment. Read durood and then see what enjoyment. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Next, on the 8th, 9th and 10th of February. Who wanted to become bayat? What time is that? 20 plus. Okay, come. Sit down, yeah? We'll do it just now. On the 8th, 9th and 10th of February, we'll be having an Islahi Jalsa. This talk what I've been given more or less, how important it is to bring deen in our lives, our inside conditions, sunnahs, talks of this type will carry on from Friday, Jummah, Saturday, Sunday, Zohar. So please try and attend. It's this one weekend and inshallah we'll benefit tremendously. All will try and come, inshallah. Please make an effort, 8, 9 and 10. And there will be ulama from outside, local ulama, bayans, everything. And we'll really benefit. People who came last year was the first time. They all said we benefited tremendously. Inshallah we'll benefit. Please try and come. Bayat, your name? Musa wants to become bayat. We're doing it, yes, so all can see and get an idea what bayat is. Bayat is sunnat. It's not for us to become bayat. But the object of bayat, once islah, once reformation, that sincerity comes in us, humbleness comes in us, we make shukr of Allah Ta'ala, all inside qualities come in us, for that is bayat, and that is for us to get those qualities. If we make namaz without ikhlas, sincerity, namaz won't be accepted. If we make ibadat lot, the pride comes in us. Then finish, everything is destroyed, it's gone. So to save, like if you work on the computer 5-6 hours, now you're exiting, and then you go to crossbox, save or delete, and by mistake you press delete. 6 hours of your work is gone. Whole life's work, if we don't make inside qualities, we'll be deleting them. We'll go in the qabr, I made lot work, I made Hajj Umrah, I went Jamaat, I did this, I did that. But in the qabr nothing is there, because no ikhlas or takabbur came in a person. Finish, delete it every house. So how important. So that is why bayat is, and this Islahi Jalsa is for that. Once a person becomes bayat, there are very simple and few things to do. If we do it, we'll progress all the time. One is to maintain Islamic dressing. If a person is in a position like work, is forced to wear shirt, trouser, different. But if it's not, maintain our dress. And if you are forced, when you come home, change into our dressing. Don't remain in the dressing of the enemies. One thing. Second, read Quran Sharif daily. Even if it's 2-3 pages, but read daily Quran Sharif. Thirdly, 100 times La ilaha illallah. It only takes 4 minutes to read it 100 times. The first time, and about every 10 times, complete the whole kalima, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And 100 times Allah, which only takes 2 times. And after the first time, say any words that show the greatness of Allah, like Jalla Jalaluhu, Ta'ala Sha'anuhu, say that words. And then keep contact. If you can come to the majlis, all the better. Every month we have a majlis, the first weekend of the Islamic month. And if we can't manage that, make a phone call once a month, just to keep the contact. Just do that, and it's not difficult. It will take not more than 10 minutes a day, but you'll progress, and you'll come closer to Allah. And the reality of deen will come, and all things which are against deen will start going out of our life. Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. Ye kursi piche kar. I'll read the khutbah in Arabic, and then what I ask you to repeat, repeat those words, inshallah. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذين يبايعونك إنما يبايعون الله، يد الله فوق أيديهم، فمن نكث فإنما ينكث على نفسه، ومن أوفى بما عاهد عليه الله فسيؤتيه أجرا عظيما. وقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: المرء على دين خليله فلينظر أحدكم من يخالل. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: المرء مع من أحب. Repeat: O Allah, I make tawbah from kufr, from shirk, from nifaq, hypocrisy, from bid'at, innovations, from all sins, major and minor, particularly the sin of the love of dunya and being unmindful of akhirah, and from the sin of following my whims and desires and being unmindful of the commandments of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu and the Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and from the sin of pride. O Allah, I promise to the best of my ability to perform my 5 times namaz with jama'at in the masjid according to Sunnah, to fast during the month of Ramadan, if zakat becomes compulsory, to discharge the same, if hajj becomes compulsory, to perform hajj, to be conscious of my islah and reformation at all times. O Allah, I enter in the silsila, the chain of the Chishtiya, and the silsila of the Naqshbandiya, and the silsila of the Qadariya, and the silsila of the So her wardiyah. Oh Allah, by the barakat of all the buzurgs, of all four silsilas, accept my tawbah and my bayat. Oh Allah, as long as I live, grant me an Islamic imani life. Just before mort, grant me tawbatan nasuha. Grant my mort on imani kamil, on kalima-i shahadat, with afiyat, izzat, rahat, and salamati. Gather me tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah and forever thereafter in Jannat with all the righteous and pious. Exactly, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen, Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husna ibadatik. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk wa hubba amalin yuqarribuna ila hubbik. Allahumma aati nufusana taqwaha wa zakki فأنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي ولا تشقنا بمعصيتك. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.